I want to finish a message. I want you to begin as I kind of catch some of you up that haven't been here in a couple of weeks or last week, but begin to find the book of Titus. Now, if you don't know this, all the T's in the Bible are together. So if you find one T, Timothy, then you'll find Titus eventually because they're all together, okay? Most of you know that I've been really ministering, and when I minister here, it's in this time, it's because I'm fixing to be ministering to a lot of preachers, and we have a conference once a year in San Antonio as of now, the Cowboy Ministers Network, and not just Cowboy Ministries there. I mean, John Hagee and his group, his son, have ministered for me there. And that's the largest church in San Antonio. But we all come together once a year just to get fed. Ministers, preachers need fed as well. Amen? And so I begin, the Lord gives me what I'm supposed to share with those ministers. And I'm in charge of the conference. And this is what, and I give it to y'all first because, you know, that's going to help me really, really organize what they need to hear. And so we've been talking about authority. We've been talking about power. And when you go to Matthew 7 or you go to Mark chapter 3 that we talked about in a couple of weeks ago, And then even last week as we really dug into Mark chapter 3 a little bit more, you'll find out that authority is very, very important in a believer's life. When you understand the authority that you have in Christ Jesus, then you'll be able to be the overcomers that God created you to be. But if you don't understand authority, then that's when the enemy attacks and you go through a trial and tribulation or you stay in the middle of it for a long period of time because we haven't gotten this knowledge of authority. You have authority, the Bible says, to use the name that's above every name, Jesus. Say amen to that. I mean, all through the epistles, the Bible teaches us to do everything in Jesus' name. I don't do it in the name of Corey because it doesn't work. Or in the name of a church or a denomination. Everything has to be done in Jesus' name. And that's the authority that we have in Christ. Because Jesus is the authority of our life. And then we speak His word. Remember, all the Bible tells us, it teaches us to be a doer, right? Of the word and not just hearing it. Because we can hear it, but if we don't apply it, then it's not gonna manifest in our lives. For example, if a doctor tells you and gives you, and most of you understand this obviously being a part of this church, hopefully for however long, but if a doctor gives you the fact and diagnoses you of a cancer or a disease, then you've got to stop for a minute and make a decision. Are you going to believe and accept the fact of what the doctor said? Now you can. You can. Or are you going to accept and receive the truth of the Word of God that will override the fact? That's how people are healed by the stripes of Jesus. I mean, this God stuff is an awesome thing if we'll apply it to our lives. Say amen to that. But when you don't understand authority, then a lot of times our faith is not there to receive the manifestation, and then God gets the blame, right? And, you know, when God gets the blame, then what do you have then to stand on? Because It was God that, it must have been His will. You know, all those negative confessions. It must have been God's will that I go through this or that. Listen to me. There's an enemy, okay? When the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, when you understand authority, then you finish the scripture in John 10:10, where Jesus says that He came that you might have life and more abundant life. And when we understand the authority that we walk in, woo, man, there's some power then. And then we started really studying out that word power. And most of you know that when it talks about authority in Matthew 7 and Mark 3, then and you're talking authority and you're talking power that we have as a believer in Jesus. Greek and Hebrew word called exousia. Now, John came to me this morning and said, well, this is actually how you say it. And I said, well, since I've already got it memorized this way, let's just keep it this way. Honestly, I would rather it be something like gravy or cornbread, you know. But they used these words back when, and then again, the word power in the Greek is dunamis. And I mean, man, when you study this stuff out, you understand that you have power. Then when the doctor says something like he did me, you got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. I had enough of the Word of God, enough of the authority in Jesus and the power, the dunamis power of God, that I was able with faith to say to a doctor, no, thank you. I don't receive that. It was a fact, though. I wasn't denying the fact. I was just denying that the fact could override the truth. No, I believe the truth. Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. All through the Word of God, 2 Timothy or 2 Peter, by Jesus' stripes, we're healed. Okay, it won't ever come to pass in someone's life until you understand that you have the authority to believe. All things are possible, say it with me, to them that. Okay, so we are believers. We're not doubters, right? I mean, now we can, because the spirit of doubt is here on the earth, because there's still a devil. And even though you and I have authority over him, over sin, that's what Romans says, we have dominion over sin. We can say yes to it, we can say no to it. So what I'm trying to preach to you and then carry it over to ministers, because I'm telling you, ministers are under attack like you've never seen. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want someone preaching the truth. Because if you hear and receive the truth, then the Bible says it makes you free. The enemy doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to be bound. But you got to dig down and say, no matter what I went through, no matter what I'm experiencing, then I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil. Because I have victory. There's the promised land, y'all. Come on. There's the promised land that we've got to get to. But if you don't get your faith up and you don't start understanding the authority that you walk in. And I know when the anointing comes on me, man, that boldness look comes on me. Well, it's for a reason, because the enemy will attack you and defeat you if you let him. But when you got that faith, kind of like you women have, when you do that, a kid runs, right? What'd you say, boy? What? When mom's visiting family and coming home today. But if we didn't say yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, she'd go, what? And we immediately knew, yes, ma'am. Why? Because she had authority. It's the same with the enemy. When you have authority, now, with that said, here's what the enemy does. Yeah, but I saw what you did yesterday. I always love telling on Seth. I love my boy, but It's a very practical thing because, man, he's a winner. Wow. I was so proud of him because he ended up placing. No, he didn't place in a round, but he ended up placing in the average at a professional rodeo, being a 19-year-old rookie, basically. And then the permit guys and the people over 50, we're in what we call a side pot called the Legacy. And you pay, you know, $100 a steer. It was a four-header. So all the Legacy and permit kids that are on their permit. Now, when you have a permit, you got to win at least $1,000 in professional rodeo to buy your actual card. And Seth's already done that, but he doesn't want to buy his card until he's out of college, where he can spend a lot of time going for his rookie season. And when you go for the rookie season, it's a very prestigious deal. Dalton Walker, that lives at our house and helps me, he won Rookie of the Year in the steer roping. And that's, again, a prestigious deal because you can only do it one time. Once you buy your card and you go for your rookie year, then the person that wins the most money through that whole year wins Rookie of the Year. And Dalton did it. So Seth, he's going to wait and be patient, but he placed in a professional rodeo on his permit, and that's a remarkable thing. Well, on one of his steers, he comes to me because it took him 17 seconds to tie that steer. Most of y'all don't understand steer roping. It's the very first event in rodeo, and most of you understand it's grandfathered in professional rodeo. They can never take it out. But rodeos don't have to have steer roping because it's an event from the ranch, roping a cow, getting them on their side, tying their legs so you can doctor them when there's no corrals around. You know, you might be way off in the pasture. And on one steer, Seth had trouble tying him, and it was his fault. He just messed up his tie, and he was 17 seconds. And he comes back to me, and I said, "Oh, man, I'm sorry, Dad." I said, "What for?" He said, "Well, I cussed a little." And of course, I grinned and laughed, and because I understood, you know. And, you know, he was admitting to his dad that he cussed, you know. And most of the time you hide stuff like that, right? Well, but listen, the enemy does want then him to not have success, right? And then the enemy wants him to remember all of his faults so that the devil can say, you don't have much authority or power because what you did yesterday. And that is a very bad thing to live by as a believer in Jesus. Because I'm telling you, I don't care if you did something wrong yesterday. Thank God for grace and mercy. Now, don't do it again. I mean, learn. That's what repenting is turning away from that sin. But by golly, don't allow it to be over your head to where you don't think you have power and authority. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. Yeah, but I just don't know enough scripture. I don't know. I haven't prayed long enough. No, no, no. We don't do things just by works to get into heaven. Praise God. We have the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to learn. Amen. So, that's what we've been learning for a couple of weeks. And we're going to finish it right now. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and say amen if you're at Titus chapter 2, okay? Now, get used to bringing your Bible, y'all. If you're a believer in Jesus, then we need to get used to this is our manual. It is everything to us, the Word of God. Now, I know you're going to have to trust me that I say what it says, right? And I promise you, I'm not going to make up anything, but if I skip over a verse or skip over a sentence, then you'll be able to see it. Amen. But you got to get into the Word of God and understand the authority that you have in Jesus. And again, not just allow one day of church to help you get carried along through all the junk that we go through out there in the world. Amen. So we got to get used to, this is a lifestyle, y'all. If Jesus is your Lord, then we live in the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, when we start understanding authority and power, then I think it's very important for a believer that we're trained how to live in authority. No matter what age you are, no matter how much knowledge you have of the Bible, how much time, again, that you've spent in prayer. I mean, all those things are good and great, but it's not by the rule or regulation. And I think we've established that. So let's look at verse 11 in Titus chapter 2. For this grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching, underline that word if you have a pen, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. All right, look at me. How many of you know that's a very important thing to understand, is that in order to live in authority and power, and listen to me, what a lot of people do is they'll come to a service, especially out there in the rodeos that we do, and they'll raise their hand at the end of the service, give their heart to Jesus. What happens is the helmet of salvation comes on. Thank God for that. Amen. I mean, thank God that you have a helmet of salvation, because salvation is, you know, you don't have to go to the place called hell. You're saved by grace, and you reside in heaven when you leave this earth. Now, what we teach here on the earth, though, like Jesus taught us the prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. So we've got to learn how to live here on earth, kingdom-minded, with authority and power, because you don't need any of that stuff in heaven, even though we still live by faith. You don't need peace in heaven, I always say. You don't need joy in heaven. Why? It's there. You don't need it there. It's already there. There's no sin. We need it here. So we've got to start being taught about authority and power. And that's what this is actually talking about. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness. Because, look, when you start understanding that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, righteousness is just doing things right. Amen. There's a choice, y'all. We can get up grumpy or we can get up happy. What are you going to choose? Well, when you understand authority and power, then your wife needs you to choose happy. Or vice versa. Your kids, that's what you're teaching them. When you get up, there's no reason to be in a bad mood constantly. You get up, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even if you don't feel it. But you're not moved by your feelings. You're not moved by your five physical senses. What are you moved by? The Word. You're moved that the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah says, is my strength. You see. Well, see, this is all power and authority. And we're getting taught now, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Look at 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's why the Bible constantly reminds us to look up. Your redemption draws nigh. All that means is we're looking up, waiting for the return of Jesus. So we can see Cole. Praise God. So we can see our loved ones that are already there. So I'm constantly, when clouds are have gathered, I look up. This could be the day, Lord, where the clouds separate, Jesus appears and calls us saints up to meet him in the air. What does the enemy say? Oh, yeah, but you probably won't make it. You've been a bad boy. You've done too many things wrong. Oh, man. That's why we're getting taught that, thank God, we have a Savior that's full of grace and mercy. But we're kingdom-minded, especially in these days that we're living in. It's imperative to be kingdom-minded. So we have a decision. We can either be sober, we can be righteous, we can be godly. That's just, all that is, y'all, is just doing things right. Choosing, well, no, I'm not going to be tempted to do that. No, I have power over that temptation, praise God, to do wrong. And the more, when you get up, let's say, and you're used to being grumpy, or you've confessed over yourself over and over and over that, you know, I'm just not a morning person. How many of you confess that? Don't raise your hand. But if you confess that over yourself, you got to change your confession. And you got to start calling those things that be not, it's what Matthew says, as though they were. You got to start saying, man, I am so happy in the morning. Right? I wake up ready to go, and I'm just happy. And you know what's going to happen eventually? Your family's going to start adoring you because you wake up happy. Right? I mean, man, when you understand authority and power, it'll change your life. I'm not saying, you know, if there's a mistake that you make, Father, thank you, Lord. I just thank you for grace and mercy. Forgive me, sir. You know what God does when you say that? Forgive me. He throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. That's authority and power. He remembers it no more as far as the east is to the west. Okay? When you live by exousia and dunamis, exousia authority and dunamis power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You and I have that as believers in Jesus, not on our own, because we can't do anything without him, right? But man, when you have that authority, then when the doctor says, hey, you're going to die in 6 months, if it was me, this is what my spiritual dad always told me when he counseled me. If it was me, I would say, I speak life over my body and I rebuke death in Jesus' name. I'm not ready to go home. And the Bible says, the Word of God says with authority and power that life and death are in the power of my tongue. And I speak life over my body. I do it all the time in the shower. I don't know why it's the shower, but that's just a little bit of time that I have by myself. Say amen to that. And I say, from the top of my head, sir, to the soles of my feet, I speak to this body, every vein, every artery, every blood vessel that causes blood to move from my heart down to my body, top to bottom, is open to do its job in Jesus' name. Every cell in my body that is not good, I command to die in Jesus' name. Did you understand that? In Jesus' name. And every good cell multiply in the name of Jesus. Now, why wouldn't you be confessing those kind of things? Maybe you need to be taught authority, exousia, and dunamis power that you have as a believer in Jesus, the Anointed One. Now, I didn't get taught this stuff in our churches growing up. Thank God for salvation, though. We got taught salvation. But we got to be, we have to understand that authority and power that we have as a believer in Jesus, not being goody two shoes or holier than thou. We're not like that. We walk in humility. But by golly, when the devil tries to attack me, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? But if you don't understand authority, then you're just going to go, oh, I guess it's God's will that I'm going through this. No, it isn't. There's a devil. That's why I said it yesterday, Jamie. While you was in behind me, I said, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my wife. She's in a rig pulling a long 45-foot bloomer trailer, and there's a horse in there and the truck, and my wife is there. Not the material stuff of the truck. Yeah, it cost a lot of money. If y'all have seen it, it's nice. I pulled up to the gas station, and the attendant was... No, the Napa. I went to Napa because I had to get a new... what do you call it? A new pigtail for the... my trailer light stopped working. It was my truck. The wires came loose, I guess, from turning or whatever. So when I was in the Napa, the guy goes, is that a custom trailer truck? That is nice. I said, yeah, I need to borrow some money. No, I was talking about her. I said, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my wife. And then I went to my son because he was leaving Odessa headed to Stephenville area college. I said, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over Seth Ross and Keeley. Protector, Jesus. And then I went to London. And I said, Father, I just thank you, Lord, wherever London is right now. She was up in the barrel racing on what night? Friday? She tied the lead to win Odessa and hit the third barrel. That's plus five. And Seth calls and says, Dad, you've got to tell her to quit hitting barrels. I said, shut your mouth, son. Just let her be. She's mad enough right now. But I prayed for her. I said, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my daughter. And then I came to me. Because I have a big rig, right? I said, Father, I have the wisdom of God. This is authority and power, y'all. And we've got to get taught, it's teaching us the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Lord Savior Jesus Christ, our Savior Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, thank you, Lord, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works, speaking these things, exhort and rebuke with all. Are y'all seeing it? Authority, let no one despise you. Now, quickly, 11:41, I want you to move. Let me read something to you that I like. I'm going to just read this. I love what it says here because it says, some think walking by faith only has to do with bold acts of power in the Holy Spirit. But with these are parts of our faith, our journey. Walking by faith also calls us to everyday interaction with and leading of God's people. Listen, I've always said it this way, being a sheep and goat rancher and helping the ranch in Fort Stockton that my dad ran, or the one in Sonora, all of that country, Iran, if you ever been through Iran, you got to want to go there. All of that is sheep and goat country. And I've always said that us as sheep in the kingdom, God doesn't want us to be fat sheep. Because all that means is that we've received, 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 and we never poured out. So that's what we have to do with authority and power. So we got to start teaching people, hey, come on, you can do it. So that's what this is talking about right here. Is that there's everyday interaction and leading of God's people. Paul left Titus in charge of resolving the problems of the church in Crete. He charged him to confront those living in godliness. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. I want you to be led by the Spirit of God if you confront one of your brothers or sisters, because it could go bad, and you can run people off. In professional rodeo, there are ministers that travel that I even hide from. Because I'm talking, they will beat you up. But there's something about saying, hey, you know, especially when they come to you and they're having major marital issues. Well, that's the time that we say, hey, listen, you know, it's probably a good opportunity to quit that alcohol because it changes your mind, right? Not saying alcohol is bad and it's a sin. That's your own business. I'm just saying that when it's causing major issues, then we have to be bold enough to say, hey, not good for you, brother, in love. Amen. Okay? So that's what they're saying. Because that's what Paul was doing. He was teaching Titus to confront. If you don't confront, then the enemy keeps piling on. That's why moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, get your kids to church. Even if they're older, you say, because that's our only hope. That's what I said at the celebration of Cole. Is listen, y'all, and Cole, there's another Cole we're talking about behind you. Because Cole's in front of y'all sweet people. I told everybody, and a lot of them gave their heart to Jesus over a terrible tragedy. They gave their heart to Jesus. So I'm telling you in heaven, Jesus is saying, Cole, there was some good fruit came from a terrible thing. But Cole's in heaven. I told all that group, especially at the graveside, I said, listen, I want you to get to church. That's how we learn and get taught. Don't be one of those people that, well, I can just have church at home. No, no, no. You get to church where you can get preached to. That's getting taught, you see. And then you get your kids there because you've got to convince them that Jesus is the only hope. Not just a church. I'm saying a church that preaches Jesus and His resurrection. Amen? Now, it goes on to say, he charged him to comfort those living in godliness, teaching those people that are teaching deceptive doctrines and causing division in the church. Do y'all realize I stand against that in this church? 22 years? We don't have church splits. Uh-uh. If someone, and they've come, there have been people come that feel like they know how to do things a little bit better. And if that was the case, then God would have called you to preach and be the pastor, right? So it gets very out of line. And these are good saved people a lot of times. They just think, well, my church did it this way and it worked. Well, that doesn't mean it'll work for these sheep. Because you got to know your sheep. You know, and they all eat different feed. You know, I'm learning that with all those steers that are out there. You know, just a good old round bell doesn't do it. They've got to have protein. Say amen to that. Okay. So, the people that are causing divisions in the church, carrying out this demanding responsibility, no doubt required great faith. That's what Titus had to have. Leaders must walk in faith as they interact with and lead God's people. In faith, rely on God when it's necessary to confront any form of ungodliness. Remember, if you're going to do that, Jesus' love as your motive and example. The point is when we're trying to teach and help people, then you can't be afraid, especially if it's family and people that are going to love you no matter what. There's a time when you say, listen, sit down. And I've had to do that over and over to different folks of that are close to me. Hey, sit down just for a second. I have something that I believe the Lord wants to share. No guilt, no condemnation, right? But I want you to see this. And then what does it do? If it's the truth, it sets them free, you see. All right, now, really fast, I want you to turn from Titus chapter 2 to chapter 3. And let's look at something that will help us understand authority and power even more. Because what we just learned in Titus chapter 2 is that authority and power, we've got to teach the Word of God. We got to teach people how to walk in authority, especially when you're going through a tough relationship issue, or you're dealing with death, or you're dealing with a trial, a tribulation, or whatever it might be. We've got to know. We've got to know that there's hope. And hope is in Jesus. Say amen to that. All right. Look at Titus chapter 3 now and read with me in verse 9. Because living in authority and power in these days, we've got to, and this is how I titled this part, avoid dissension. Avoid it. You get with someone that you're in disagreement with, if they don't come around, then you don't want to yoke with those kind of people. Now, you want to love on them. I've always said this, and listen to me. I've always said you should always have a heathen friend. Only to get them born again and delivered from being a heathen and then get another heathen friend. But not where you go down to their level. Amen? No, just build them up, love on them, get them born again. And that's what this is talking about. We've got to avoid dissension. Look at verse 9, Titus 3. But avoid foolish disputes. Ugh. That Facebook stuff, y'all. Equilow. Ugh. If you start reading all that junk, you're foolish. Because it is. There's people that believe that it's their calling in life to examine and point out all the major flaws of all kinds of preachers. Skip over that and block them. Because I'm here to tell you it is not God. The Spirit of God will tell you if there's a false prophet in your midst. Okay? But we get so hung up on someone that heard a certain minister say this. They wasn't there though. They didn't hear the before and the after. And it got turned into, wow, he is a false prophet. You better be careful because God says don't touch God's anointed. And it ain't your job to judge someone's anointing. Man, that's going to be good to tell a preacher. Amen. Well, I mean, we need to be reminded, right? Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law. For they're not profitable and useless. They are unprofitable, I should say, and useless. Reject divisive men after the first and second gravy and cornbread. Mission. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So, if you're going through something that has been a pain, a heartache, a trial, a tribulation, and it may be terrible, or it might be something that's minor, that's just kind of a molehill right now, but could become a mountain, then you've got to get a hold of this message. Authority, exousia, and dunamis, power. Every single one of us believers have that at our disposal. I don't care if you were born again today, and if you're not born again, you're going to be. There's no reason to not have a Savior, someone to cast cares upon. It'll take a lot of pressure off of you trying to be good or, you're just learning. I mean, we're getting taught. I'm thankful for a lot of you that are finally trying to tame your tongue from cussing. But every now and then, like Seth, it just popped out. I said, okay, buddy, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Right? Well, he admitted it. I didn't beat him up. Mm-mm. He's 19 years old. I'm not going to beat anybody up. I would rather them be honest around me than trying to change just because they're around me. I appreciate the respect, but no. The Spirit of God is really the one that convicts, not condemns. And then you got to walk in your exousia authority and your dunamis power that you have. So every single one of us today and watching, come on, you can do it. You may be going through a tough time, but get on through it. That's why the valley of the shadow of death, you go through it. Because none of us are exempt from it, right? We live in a fallen world. We just don't live of it. So we're going to experience a lot of ups and downs. You should try to rodeo. You should try to rodeo. And you should try to steer rope. It's a very humbling sport. I roped my first steer on Friday. 14 flat. Made a good run. My second steer, I roped him, kind of missed my trip, went in there, got him down, strung a bottom leg on a right-hand tie. If you don't know what that means, it doesn't matter. I put one wrap and a hooey, and the steer, before I got to my horse, kicked free, and they flagged me out. Now, I owned that steer, so I almost made him barbecue. But he costs too much, so I need him to make some money. And then my wife, as I went back up, I knew what she was thinking because we had just talked about it on a longhorn steer. Since they're not crossing anything from Mexico, you can't get the good Mexican corrientes. I cross them. I have 1,000 waiting, permitted to come across. I can't wait. I need the people in America to open that border up because it's not Mexico. Well, a longhorn has skinny legs and no ankles. So they just right out. So you want to put two in a tight? And I didn't do it, Howdy. I get to my wife and she goes, "We just talked about putting two in a hooey on." I said, "Shut your mouth, Mama." No, I didn't say that. Hey, y'all, come on, I'm kidding. I mean, I would never say something like that to this beautiful lady without getting beat. I didn't say, "Shut your mouth." I thought it, though. Amen. Then this third steer, because it's a four-header. I draw a black and white bigger paint. I made him an extra because he was a little bigger than the rest of the herd. And I mean, I just went up there, Howdy, and I roped. And he kind of checked off a little bit, but then he kept going. And I didn't have enough momentum, and he just turned around and stayed on his feet. And I was like, oh. Well, do you really think that I'm going to dwell on something that just didn't go my way? Because I'm tempted. Yeah, I was tempted just like Seth to cuss. But I don't cuss. I've trained myself. It don't come out of my mouth. And it takes some training, right? To not say good luck. Now, I don't believe in luck. Luck is not from God. Matter of fact, you study the old devil, they used to call him old lucky. I don't want to be associated with luck. Because then there's good and bad luck. But there's no such thing as a bad blessing. Okay, listen, y'all. We've got to understand authority and power. And when we do, then all things through Christ gives me strength. Then I'm an overcomer. Then I can do it. Then I'm a victor, not a victim. Amen? And then we're happy. I'll praise God. Yep, stupid devil, get thee behind me, get under my feet in Jesus' name. But I'm happy. I have authority. I can use the name of Jesus, right? And then I stay around people that build me up, not tear me down. That is authority, and that's power. Amen? That's authority, and that's power. Amen? That is authority and power. Amen? Amen. Come on. That's agreement. Man, don't get used to being quiet in church. Start saying, yes, sir. Amen. I agree. Because when you say, that's right, devil, get me behind me. You can't say it under your breath. You got to be vocal. So I'm talking about we live in authority and power. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. That devil ain't going to, he's not going to defeat us another day in our life. Amen. Unless you let him. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ because he loves me.
Amen.
Okay? That's how we have authority and power over situations. Oh, you're getting it. Come on. God's the head. We're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this message. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to have to apply it to our lives because we understand and have been taught this morning that if we're a believer in Jesus, we're saved. Romans 10:9, we've confessed Jesus with our mouth that he's Lord and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We're saved people. That means we have authority and power. So we receive this message by faith. We have authority. We have power. And thank you, sir, for that. Help us even get stronger in the knowledge, the teaching that you gave us through the Word of God about power and authority. And so, Father, we receive again this great message in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed for the new people here. The Lord really instructed me years and years ago, over 30 plus years of ministry, to never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So we're going to pray a prayer, all of us, even the believers, to learn the prayer. And then maybe pray it with someone here that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life. And if that's you, you need to get saved. You need to know what's going to happen to you when you leave this earth. The world calls it death. But we call it life when you're born again because we get to go to a place called heaven. So we're going to pray a prayer. If Jesus is the Lord, pray this prayer with someone around you. If he's not, then out loud where your ears can hear it, pray this prayer and pray it just like this. You ready? Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of every sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. Coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, I need heaven here. So help me, sir. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, I don't want you to be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to die for all of us. He did it, remember, on the top of a hill where everybody could see it. So if you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the first time in a minute, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up, put it right back down. And what you're doing is you're acknowledging Jesus before men. And if you do that, Jesus said, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And all God's saying is, don't be ashamed. If you just prayed that prayer and gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up at three. One, two, three. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three. Go. Raise it up. Is there anybody? All right, look at me. 2 weeks in a row, we've not seen anybody where normally we'll see four or five hands, right? And I'm okay with that because we're going to keep doing what God's called us to do. But on that, get people here if you don't know how to lead them to Jesus. Because what I suspect is that you must be leading people to Jesus when they come here. They're already saved. But I'm telling you, hundreds and hundreds get saved at this church. But the last 2 weeks, we're all born again. So it's imperative when we live in the kingdom to be about other people, right? We learned that today. So let's get our family, friends to church if you don't know or are not brave enough to lead them to Jesus. Amen? Did y'all have a good time? All right.